everyone, and welcome to another edition of Fifi, Feb and Byron's catch-up special. It's ARIA Awards this week, so what better way to celebrate our favourite Aussie musos than revisiting some of our interviews with them? We've had some hilarious chats with Amy Shark, Vance Joy, Barnsey, the boys from Peking Duck. Woo! We hope you enjoy.
101.9 The Fox.
These guys, you'll know them from all these hits. They've even got a brand new bar they're going to talk to us about. They're busy.
They've got something else that's brand new too. We'll go into that in a second. But Adam and Ruben, welcome back to the show.
Hey.
Peking Duck. Peking Duck.
We're in the studio.
Thank you for having us.
Now, and thank you for coming in.
Anytime.
Which is unbelievable considering last night was the launch of your brand new bar, Talk To Me.
It was indeed.
Was that last night or this morning?
It's pretty monumental being here talking about it because Feb was actually the one, we told him about it before we did our last interview here.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Feb leaked the news.
I did.
And now it's a real thing.
Now it's true. We didn't even know if it was going to happen then. And then because you said something, we're like, we have to do it now.
Sorry about that, guys.
No, it's good.
But it looks amazing.
Thank you, man.
It looks
so good.
And I was just speaking to my wife because we haven't been out for like 9 months because we've got a baby due in a week and a half.
Congrats.
Yeah.
And our first outing is
Talk To Me.
Yes. We're going
to
really light it up because I finished work too, so there's no getting up in the morning.
The walls are fireproof, so it's sick.
Yeah, we're going to have a lock-in.
Our first ever lock-in in our venue.
Fair. You're still going to have a newborn baby.
We've got babysitters.
We didn't pop the baby out, you've still got to look after it.
Yeah, but we're still allowed to go out and have a little bit of a cheeky cocktail.
It's like a celebratory cocktail.
We actually got you presents too.
Yes,
this
we
is
did.
For the.
You're joking.
No, not even joking. Hang on. We've got you each like a, because it's obviously Peking Duck, Asian themed. That's one of those waving gold pussycats. That's to bring you luck.
You're welcome.
And they don't stop waving, do they?
Oh, you're kidding me. Some sake.
Let's have it now.
That
would help so much.
It would help him already.
We just came back from Hong Kong. We were doing a little tour in Asia. And I don't know what the official word is for these golden pussycats. But do you remember the big one that we had? That
we had a huge one.
We brought it with us on tour and it had a human face. And
Are you sure it was a cat?
maybe it was a human.
But it doesn't stop there. What about these DJ Ducks? You are now bona fide authors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty weird, isn't it?
How did Peking Duck writing a children's book even happen?
They wrote it after a night at their bar.
Now, pretty much 12 months ago, we hit this point where we were like pretty sick of seeing how people get so wrapped up in Instagram, especially kids and teenagers.
Yeah.
And we just thought, you know, maybe there's like a way that we can try wean people out of thinking that it's everything. And so we just made a story about two little ducks called Adam and Rubes that get absolutely infatuated and wrapped up in Instagram, and then they finally, not Instagram, it's Quacker.
Yeah.
But they pretty much get so obsessed with it that they forget what matters eventually they make their way back to the pond and it's a good time. But
That's really impressive.
Cool. I'm glad there's a picture of me in it when you guys.
Yeah, you. Yes, that is you.
Have a just look. Tanked up with tats.
Oh, Feb's in it. Look at that.
Yeah.
Tats on the bicep.
I actually like the cartoons of your good selves. I mean, that.
Yeah, that's
looking
us.
That's very good in cartoons.
I love that you're both in turtlenecks as well.
Thank you. It's a good story, though, because
like
I feel
authors.
Like adults that are reading it, there's a deeper little story to it that adults will get, but kids can also get it, and it's fun, and it's accessible.
Ooh,
it's good.
Simpsons style.
God, you're on fire.
Simpsons style. Yeah. Levels.
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 I'm still on the kid level when I watch the Simpsons.
So this new bar that Fev and Alex are going to go to will all be there. Talk To Me on Commercial Road in Paran. Just give us a landmark so we can find it easily.
It's 153 Commercial Road, and it's the most lit place you'll find
it. It's opposite the Cullen, if you know that hotel.
No. It's opposite Runway Room, which is underneath the Cullen, which is my business.
Yeah.
We are literally neighbours.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll go get a makeover and then go get drunk.
This is a disaster. It's a disaster. And of course,
huge.
Good luck to the lads at the Arias as well. Lots of nominations, the publicly voted awards, the industry voted awards. It's been a massive year. Boys, congratulations. We'll be there.
Thank you.
Woo.
Love you.
Fifi, Fev and Byron. A special edition catch-up of our favourite interviews with Aussie musos to celebrate the 2018 ARIA Music Awards.
101.9 The Fox.
We love this next guest and we love all her music that we play here on The Fox. There's the new single, All Loved Up. Adore blew our minds. And that's been our favourite forever. She's back in the studio, guys.
Hi. Amy Sharp. Good morning.
She still gets really embarrassed when we sing her song. No, she's
but
like,
we
oh
just
my God.
Love you, Ames. Well, you're just very good at it. Like, I'm intimidated.
thanks for coming in, Amy.
We are 12 minutes since your brand new video clip for All Loved Up just dropped. It dropped,
I know,
12 minutes ago.
As I'm here with
I
you
know.
Guys. Where else would I be?
Probably a lot of places you'd rather be.
No way.
And you, since we saw you last, and I'm thinking that was probably about 6 weeks ago, and you brought in a lovely gift for my little dog, Lizzie Rosie Box, yes. A shark outfit, which she loves.
Good.
Refuses to wear, but still, I'll make her love us. But you've done so much. You've been in God. LA. You've been meeting Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
Usher, who's performing at our R&B Fridays Live concert on Saturday night.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He actually said, he goes, I'm going to be in Australia soon. I'm like, oh, that's great. Like
Demi Lovato, Ruby Rose.
How was LA?
Big dog.
LA was great. I mean, the whole Love Monster tour in North America was incredible.
Yeah.
Like, it was really, really amazing. Like, especially to just, I toured there for so long with Night Thinker, like six tracks. So to go back with like a full album and
punch
all these
it
songs,
out.
It was so good.
How does it feel knowing that you've started back here and then you go to the States and everyone's singing your song?
Yeah, and people are so invested over there, like, because they're so spoilt for choice that when they do decide to like sort of zone in on an artist, especially someone from Australia, they really do their research. So they know every song, they know what, you know, what tweet you did that day, they buy all your merch, they're there early, they're just really passionate over there. Like,
we should do that first.
I know every tweet and every Insta post that Amy puts up. Don't worry about
it. Notes to self.
Talk us through, Amy, what is it like? You're just at a restaurant and out of nowhere, Macaulay Culkin just walks up to you and says he's a big fan.
Well, I wish that's actually how it happened, Faith, but I should have gone with it.
Did you say, get in?
I thought that was a bird. I was like, what's that linking to?
That's the famous line.
That's Kevin.
Would you like it again?
No, Byron.
Okay, just checking.
I was actually just sitting there and we were looking at another guy at another table and we thought it was that guy from Breaking Bad. We thought it was Heisenberg.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, is it him? And we spent the whole night just wondering if it was him. And then we started talking to the waiter about how great dinner was and just giving him this big rap saying like, it's been amazing and he's trying to get us to have dessert. I was like, yeah, why not? And then all of a sudden the table closest to us, Macaulay Culkin just turns around and he's like, you should get the cheesecake. It's really good here. And if you get the cheesecake, you're going to have the dessert wine and it's on me. And I was like, well, that's Macaulay Culkin. Like,
wow. That is cool. Really unbelievable.
That's
so Jeez. LA. It's
now,
so
Amy,
LA.
You're off to the track today for Ladies' Day. You're performing at the park.
Yeah.
Big set. How exciting.
I'm so excited. Yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah. I haven't played, I used to go to the Gold Coast Club all the time. So this is like the champagne version.
Amy, remember you tell the story. You'd perform inside of some sort of pub TAB and you'd be interrupted for like the seventh race at Ascot. They'd actually have to turn you down.
Yeah, they'd be like, get out of the way. Like, yeah, they'd turn up, race 9 at Randwick or whatever and like, Can you just duck?
Like, just Fifi, Fev and Byron. A special edition catch-up of our favourite interviews with Aussie musos to celebrate the 2018 ARIA Music Awards.
101.9 The Fox.
So when it comes to music in Australia, this guy, seriously, quite literally, bigger than the Beatles. Oh, not kidding. 15 number one albums in Australia. That's more than the Beatles ever had. 10,000 gigs across his lifetime. And there is a film out based on his acclaimed memoir, Working Class Boy. It is Working Class Boy, coming to Australian cinemas from August 23rd for a limited season.
It looked to me like everything was falling down. I was born at home in a kitchen and I weighed 14 pounds. There was my mum on her knees, screaming at the floor. My granny's walking around screaming at her. And then I came into the room screaming. I've been doing it ever since.
Yes!
Jimmy Barnes is in the studio!
Come here!
Barnesy!
Jesus.
Oh.
I was getting excited. There was a bit of a build-up.
How good was
Barnesy,
it?
It's the biggest build-up. And you know what? And we all love you, and you are an absolute Australian icon. I'm calling, and I've said this for a very long time, and we've known each other in the media for my all-time favourite Australian singer. And this movie, Jimmy, so raw. So anyone who... I mean, it's a must for a Jimmy Barnes fan, but just the story of your life, so honest, so real. How confronting is it watching your life back?
Well, you know what? I'd done, you know, went through the writing process, and that was sort of confronting. And I'd finish writing a chapter and then go and see the therapist. You know, get it together. You know, and then, so make sense of it. And then continue writing. And then I went out and did the tour. And halfway through the tour, I realized all this other stuff was coming up that I'd forgotten about. And so that was more confronting. And then I'd talk to people in the street, and they'd be going through the same thing. That was confronting. So I thought I'd sort of got through it all. And I went to the sort of test showing for the family the other day, and I thought, oh, this will be easy. I've seen it all, and they put it on. No kidding, I cried from start to finish. It's really tough stuff.
I was crying.
Yeah, but the thing is that there's a lot of beautiful things that come out of it. There's a lot of really good things that we approach and we speak about in it. You know, there's just trying to break the cycle of violence and domestic violence and alcoholism and it's all that manly stuff the blokes do.
Yes, I went through a bit of mental health issues, and I don't know where I watched something. You were on something and you're talking about you're in a hotel room with your wife and something happened with you're in there and something happened that just changed your life.
Oh yeah, no, that was that's the start of the book. I was watching.
Yeah, the book.
I couldn't sleep, and I was because of obvious reasons, I was insomniac because I was pumped full of bloody anything that was by, and everybody would be asleep. So I was watching TV, and the only movie I hadn't seen on the TV was Snowtown, and I turned it on, and I knew it was a horror story about the bodies in the barrels and stuff, and I thought it's about Adelaide, but the place they filmed it looked like my house, looked like my street, and it just, and I remember I had to turn it off quick because all the memories came back then. That's what started the flow.
Man.
It was and really it's just horrible stuff, and it seems like a horror story to me, and I know people say, oh well, you've lived through it and all that, but the point of the reason, one of the reasons I put this out and continued through with it is there's still a lot of people going through the same shit out there, guys. It was same, there's still poverty, there's still violence, domestic violence is peaking, it's gone off the charts. Young men are killing themselves in droves because of all these things, all this conditioning that men get, particularly men about not talking and being brave and being tough, and men don't cry, don't show your emotions. Listen, I cry at the drop of a hat now, but I also show my emotions. I'm still a bloke, but I'm not afraid anymore, which is, I'm not afraid to be afraid, which is a good thing.
It's so beautiful and so brave of you to reveal that part of your life and your past. And then there are beautiful moments in the movie too, in the film.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you performing with Mahalia, with David. I mean, such a beautiful life story and such a beautiful family.
It's really good. We wanted to see the music's been sort of... It's that juxtaposition. The music's been this sort of thing that sort of saved my life.
Mm.
And has also been, that's been sometimes when I've been on stage, I talk about it's like I'm in a storm. And on stage for that hour is when I'm in the eye of the storm. And it's all happening around me. And every single night there's moments where I feel complete peace.
Mm.
And so the music's always brought that to me. So I wanted the music to be important on this. So the soundtrack record's really good, which, by the way, we're giving all the money away to drought relief, so that's a good thing.
Oh, great work, Jimmy.
Yeah, but it's a really good soundtrack. I got to work with like David, like you said, and Mahalia. All my kids sing on it, and I got to work with the ACO, the Australian Chamber Orchestra.
Oh, that was incredible.
Tangetti, who's just
phenomenal. With the Australian Chamber Orchestra, mind-blowing.
Yeah. When you get up there with Dave, do you just say, take a step back, mate, I'm the big dog?
I think he was happy to. Yeah. He's like, because, see, when David, when I asked him to do the show, first time. Because like David says in the doco, you know.
This is David Campbell, of course.
We didn't sort of, you know, we didn't talk about a lot of stuff, you know. Sort of like men, you know. Yeah, you're right. Are you all right? No, yeah, it's an awkward, awkward hug, you know. But then suddenly Dave comes to the show. And there was like photos of his mother. And I'd said to him beforehand, we're doing this song called Reflections of My Life. I said, I'll sing the first verse. It might be a bit much. He said, don't be stupid. This is what I do for a living. I'll do the first verse. Let me go in first. So I start talking about David and about when he was a child and what, you know, about, you know, regrets because, you know, I've missed half of David's childhood. Mm. And I've said, you know, one of the only things in my life I regret is that I would want to spend more time with him. And he comes out to sing and he's like, and he went to sing, I told you I should.
He really struggled.
Just speak.
Listen to your father.
Go, Fave, go. One more, Fave.
And before we let you go, Jimmy, because you are in high demand, but I just, it would be remiss, you're talking about singing, be remiss of me not to bring up the story we always talk about when I see you, which is the time being you're one of your number one fans.
Yep.
When I hoped you were serenading me and Byron organised it.
Yes.
And I walked into the studio and there was Mossy with the guitar.
Well, I knew Mossy was a big favourite.
Ian Moss performed Cry Me a River for Fifi, but she didn't have any deep feelings for Ian.
Yeah. See, when you said that, I thought, oh, she's after Mossy.
No.
Mossy's a heart. Glad you brought that up now.
Mossy's a heartthrob of the band. I was just a scrubber up the front.
Okay. She's been waiting on this serenade for a long time. Clearly you're not getting it this morning either.
Not this morning, but
you see, you're sorry.
There you go. You almost got it.
One, two. Oh, I can't sing it as nice as
no, that's beautiful. So,
you, Fifi. Oh.
This is the film, Working Class Boy. Don't miss this. This is compulsory viewing.
Absolutely.
And the thing is, it's doing really well because I think it's already got more releases than any other documentary in Australian history. And you know, the record is the money's going to drought relief. God knows they need it. So get out and buy the record. You know, it's you know, I feel like I'm shamelessly plugging myself, but I'm only doing it for the right reasons.
Absolutely, you are. And you know what, Jimmy? Yes, we work at the Fox, and we've already played Lay Down Your Guns this morning. Any chance to play Jimmy Barnes?
Yeah. And don't feel embarrassed. I plug myself every minute of the week.
Fifi, Fev and Byron. A special edition catch-up of our favourite interviews with Aussie musos to celebrate the 2018 ARIA Music Awards.
101.9 The Fox.
Vance Joy is our guest. He's hanging out with us on Fifi, Fev and Byron. Of course, the new album Nation of Two, available to stream and download. But it's time for...
Is it amazing? Yes, it's amazing.
Big shout out to Alex Lloyd who helped us out with that one.
Well, I kind of wish I hadn't sung it whilst Vance is sitting here too. That's not my finest
work.
That
sounds good. I like that.
Thank you, Vance. Now, okay, this is a segment, and 131060, if you want to get involved and share an amazing story, just a heads up, Vance, we are quite brutal.
I won't be disheartened.
Okay, good. Okay, because we still love you, whatever happens. Yeah. But forge ahead. What's your story?
And sometimes, by the way, the guys suggest a way you could have improved it. They give you some feedback at the end.
I'm thinking about the ways I'm going to ruin this already. But what happened was in 2016, my band and I, we got to perform at the AFL Grand Final, which was a big, awesome thing.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so cool. And we knew that it was like, you know, the record label was like, you know, this is a possibility. Anyway, and it ended up happening. It was super cool. I got to hang out with the Living End a bunch and got to know them. And
the Bulldogs won.
The Bulldogs won. And it was crazy. Best game ever. My family and friends came. It was cool. Mm. Sting was the headliner. And we were backstage and like we were all sitting around and we could see Sting like in the green room. He'd just flown in from America, like some all hours flight. Like he'd come in for like 3 hours off a plane, play the grand final, get on a plane and go back overseas. So it was that kind of vibe and we hadn't really spoken to him. And I was like, maybe I won't get a chance to meet Sting. It's all good, but like I can see him across the table, and he looks really good. He had really good triceps. Everyone was like, "How ripped is Sting?"
When you do give him feedback, does he need to talk about Sting's triceps?
I get the feeling. This is just you're a bit of.
He's just put a little.
I'm trying really hard to make it more interesting. I'm like, what can I talk about?
No, beautiful, good, good.
And so we played, and we got off stage, and then we went back to the green room. We were sitting and eating, and at this time Sting was like performing and we were just sitting there just chilling out, me and the band, and we're kind of like just decompressing. A few minutes later I just feel these arms kind of embrace me from behind, and it was like really warm, like loving embrace. I might be taking a license here with some of these details, but I felt this person like embrace me from behind, and I just hear this voice and it was like, great job. And I was like, looked over and it was Sting, and I was like, thank you so much. So nice to meet you. And then he just like walked away, and everyone at the table was just like, you know, like couldn't say anything. And then I was like, whoa, that was pretty cool, right? And everyone was like,
did you touch his triceps?
They were there holding me. I saw them at close range. Yeah, that was my story.
You just awarded with an amazing.
Oh, I did it?
Yes, you did it, man.
And if it wasn't good, we would have played something like this. This is what I like to do. It's so close to amazing,
but just needs a little twist. Oh,
if it's really bad.
If it's really bad, this one.
We've always got this one. It's a little bitch.
we had Peking Duck in, and they told a story, and they got that one.
Horrendous. Yeah. It was a horrific story.
No, well, it was all over the shop. Their delivery wasn't up to scratch.
Yeah, they hadn't been home from the night before.
Yeah, they couldn't remember the
They couldn't remember anything.